Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
Let's go to 2 Peter 2:1. But there were false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. Denying the Lord who bought, these were bought, blood-bought, children of God were becoming false prophets. And remember, Peter, in 2 Peter, he's not writing to people outside the church. He's writing to people inside the church, in the church. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly, that word secretly is the word privily, In the old King James, privily, bring in destructive heresies into the family of God. Now listen to me. So he says, there will be also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly, privily, bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. Now listen to me. Peter is forecasting and speaking futuristically for now, the time we're in now. But he was also speaking in the times that he was in then, because the moment of the inception of the church, because the persecution was so heavy, because it was a new thing. The pagans they hated Christianity, because anybody that was getting saved would stop going to plays and stop going to all these social events. And they thought, they don't want to do anything anymore under Nero's government. Are you listening to me? And so they put pressure on them. And then the persecution, they would actually kill them in Colosseums and stuff. And so the persecution was heavy. They would feed them to lions and have people watch. But these deceivers were coming in saying, you know, you need to not be so, you need to calm down with this new faith and calm down. But you see, we don't want to insulate ourselves from pressure and persecution, because that actually will make you grow. They're not going to feed you to a lion today. Well, you never know. But now listen. Peter is forecasting about these false prophets. The words false teacher are a translation of the Greek word pseudo-didaskalos, is the Greek word. Pseudo-didaskalos. It's a compound word. You see, the Holy Spirit used words to help you understand. You see that? And that's why we got to bring out the Greek. We got to understand, what is he saying here? Now listen, which is a compound word, two words, pseudo, didaskalos. Pseudo carries the idea of any type of falsehood. It depicts pictures, one who projects an image of himself that is false. One who walks in pretense, or one who intentionally misrepresents facts or truths. The word didaskalos, listen to me, is the Greek word masterful teacher. When these two words, pseudo and didaskalos, are compounded, the new word, pseudo didaskalos, depicts teachers who may have begun with authentic faith towards God. They may have begun and began with authentic faith towards God, but God called teachers. But over a period of time, they progressively veered off course and drifted away from the scriptures. Now, the message they offer is counterfeit, which means they have begun a counterfeit teaching. Peter, by the Holy Spirit, who is using this word, prophetically forecasts, this time will come, and it's going to increase. Spiritual leaders will arise at the end of the age and present counterfeit versions of the truth. Of the truth. They may claim to be the cutting edge, or they call themselves progressive thinking, and even new theological concepts and ideas. In reality, these particular leaders will be out of sync with the authentic faith towards God and the scriptures. And the proclamation on the preaching of teaching the scriptures, they will be out of sync. So you want to be in a place where they're not out of sync, but they are in sync with the scriptures. False prophets, false teachers among you, listen to me, who secretly, privily bring in damaged heresies. Damnable and damaged heresies. Destructive, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. Listen, this phrase secretly and privily, this is what it means. It's a Greek word. We got to get the Greek in on it again. Para, it's a three compound word. Para, which means alongside. Eli, which means into. And ago, which means I lead. I lead. This is huge right here. The word para in this context indicates that false teachers, Peter was referencing to, listen, alongside other believers, the word EI means they will bring in their false doctrine right into the church family. And the word ago suggests that these individuals are holding positions of leadership. Leadership in the church. Am I making sense? To try to ease, to compromise, to try to ease, you know, you go to that church? Well, that, I don't, you know, nobody's ever had that here, have you? When you go to a church where the word of God is the unadulterated and the authority, people are going to question why you go there. Because it's going to change. Things are going to change in you. Huh? There's going to be some change in you. These false teachers would not be outsiders trying to get inside. They were trusted leaders inside working within the congregation. This word, parasago, is how it's pronounced. Parasago. When the Greek word parasago, this compound word, speaks of a smuggler attempting to covertly transport illegal contraband across a border while using a disguise or stealth to conceal the activities. Deliberately smuggling contraband is not accidental. Peter's use of the word reveals that these false teachers would be neither ignorant or innocent concerning their activities. They would know that their words and actions were contrary to the truth. Did you hear what I said? They would know it, and they would know what they're up to. I was talking to my wife the other night when we were out, and just something came over me. I started thinking about God's creation, how God created the animals. He didn't create us like animals. We're not animals. We're above that. He created animals. You know, animals live by their instinct. You see that? A lion has strength because of his roar. An elephant intimidates because he'll stand up on his back feet, and something that's coming to get him, he'll intimidate him, and they'll scurry off. Birds have wings to fly away to protect them. Listen to me. You and I, 1 Corinthians 2:16, we have the mind of Christ. You need to use your mind in these last days we're living in. Amen. You need to use your mind, and when you get in touch with the anointing and the Word of God in your mind, it delivers you and frees you from anxiety, worry, and all the mess that's going on in this world. God will help you right in the middle of it. And you will know the truth. That's why he says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, pass the test, that you may prove what is that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. Amen. This is vital. This is essential. In Colossians 2:8, Paul was addressing the Colossians church. And he said, beware of philosophy. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy. Colossians 2:8, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. You see, when it's not according to Christ, you get cheated. And the word cheat there means to cause to decay, rot, and deteriorate. We need to make sure we are receiving God's unadulterated truth, because it's from Christ. Are you listening to me? And Christ is the anointed one and his anointing. Isaiah 10 says it's the anointing that destroys the yoke and bondages. You need the anointing on your life. You need the anointing on them teachers up there preaching and teaching to break the yoke and bondages off your life. Am I making sense? Yeah. And that's the Word of God working. But it has to come from a vessel whose faith is towards God. Right. And leadership. Am I making sense? Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy. This word philosophy, philio, Sophie. Philio is man's love. Brotherly love. Sophie's man's wisdom. So you get cheated through man's wisdom. That's what he's making us aware of. To not get caught up in man's wisdom. Now catch this. He says in Mark chapter 7, in verse 6 and 7, he says, as it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their hearts are far from me. For they worship God in vain. As to doctrines of the commandments of men. Doctrines again. Wrong doctrines right there in the church. The Pharisees, are you listening to me? Jesus was telling them what was going on. Then he says in verse 13, the traditions of men make the word of God of no effect. You see, you can't rely on man and his wisdom, because it can't get you to the will of God. You need God's wisdom to get to the will of God. That's why he says this in 1 Corinthians 2, 6 and 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. It's a mystery. Mystery means truth revealed. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained for our glory. God has a wisdom, a supernatural wisdom ordained for our glory. What's glory mean? Well, God originated and intended. The only way you're going to get to what God created you for is going to come from God's wisdom. And it's ordained. It means you're authorized. Amen. He's put authority on you. It takes authority to become you. If you're going to become who God created you to be, you need authority to do it. Amen. You can't do it in man's wisdom. You need God's authority on your life. Amen. We need God's wisdom. And that's how we're going to discover God's plan and purpose for our life. It's through God's wisdom. Now look, he goes on to say, for the rulers of this age would not have known, but had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They wouldn't have, the Roman soldiers wouldn't have crucified Christ. You know why? Because they were in confusion. They wouldn't have, they were destroying themselves by crucifying Christ. Did you get what I said? And that's the wisdom of God. That's the love of God. See, when you are in the agape love of God, see, the agape love's not based on feelings. I seen somebody post something, oh, we're not compatible. We're just not compatible. That doesn't even come from God. There's no such thing in a marriage as being compatible. You need God's wisdom. You need God's love in there. Amen. And that's what brings you together. Because yeah. A marriage is designed and based on God's love, agape love. And when you get that flowing in your life, you're going to have paradise in your life. But it has to come from God. That's why Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 2. He said, I didn't come with eloquence of speech or with persuasive words in human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of faith in God. Not in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Did you hear that? And that's what we need. We need God's wisdom and that power to help us supernaturally, above the natural, to live out the plan and purpose God has for us. This is why he says in 1 Peter, he says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, have fervent love for one another, for the brethren. Have fervent love for the brethren from a pure heart. That's why I want everybody here out there on the front lawn next week, because we're going to have a party for these kids. And we're going to let them know we're behind them. And they're going to see us loving each other. We may not like each other, but we're going to love each other. Are you listening to me? We're going to show them this love. Children do what they see. And so that's why I want you all to be out there. And I know you'll have fun if you come. Now catch this. You see, when we have love for a brethren, watch, purify your soul. It says this. In Matthew 5:8, it says this. Blessed. You're blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You see, when your heart's pure, now you can see God. You can see God in everybody. And so you start treating unbelievers. Your boss is trying to spew toxicity on you. You start treating him. You see God in him. And now you begin to treat him different. You begin to honor him. Are you listening to me? And submit to him without belly aching and complaining and murmuring. And you begin to love your enemies. You can't love your enemies without what I'm talking about, without the wisdom of God. You'll want to get them told and get them back. Am I making sense? But when you understand this, you have wisdom. And you'll submit. And you'll submit to your wife. You'll submit to your husband. That's the will of God. And when you start doing that, you start to feel the presence of God in your home. And you know that God's involved in this. Well, I'm not going to help him. He should be doing that himself. Well, you know what you need? God put you there to help him. Well, I'm not going to do that for her. No, God put you there to help him. God has blessed you with that person. And you see, because you don't see it. See, you can't see it because you ain't bunning up in here, letting your soul get purified and loving each other. Because you see, when you can't see it, you'll try to do everything yourself. And it'll bring confusion and misery in your life. The process of deception was suggestive and subtle, luring believers into becoming more inclusive and accepting of what pagans believed. They were trying to ease the pressure from all the pagans around in the world. You know, we don't have to do all that. Come on, man, it ain't all that. I mean, you can live with your girlfriend before you get married. You know, kick the tires before you make a decision. That's not God. We're going to be talking about that. There's a lot of this is why we got so many problems. Well, why do you talk about that in church? We need to talk about that in church. Yeah. Huh? That's what they do. These teachers, they smuggle these lies into the minds of the people in the family of God. Listen. And they did it to stop them from being so adamant about the truth. You see, when you're excited about the Lord, and you have a relationship with him, you're secure. Yeah. And you know what? The things you talk about will put light on their deficits, where they know they need to grow, and they need to make some changes. Are you listening to me? And so they'll get defensive. And that's why he says, 1 John 4:17, love is perfected in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Another boldness means courage. I'm going to have courage in the day of judgment. My name is written in the Lamb's book of life. What I'm trying to let you understand, this is the truth up in here. And see, when you begin to have boldness, you see what that does. You know what? It takes boldness for you to be you. It takes courage. Then it says perfect love casts out all fear. Because fear involves torment. You see, that's what people do. They protect themselves all the time when you show up. Makes them uncomfortable sometimes. You don't even have to say anything. Just show up happy. And it makes them uncomfortable. That's okay. And you know what? Even while they're defending themselves, you can keep loving them and giving them mercy and grace and showing them Jesus. Yeah. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're not to say, oh, they don't understand. Hey, you know, I'm a sinner. No, you know, you don't talk like that. No. You start to see they don't understand. And you start to have grace and mercy for them. You see that? Satan knows when compromise is given an inch, it brings a temporary reprieve. It also produces a long-term destructive effect on God's family and the church. We got to get rid of these being compromising. We got to understand that there's no time to be compromising. We got to take a stand for what we believe and know what we believe. You see? That's why you don't want to be ignorant of the devil's devices. That's why we need to know and use our mind of Christ. We don't want to be ignorant. The word ignorant, remember, it means agnostic. You ask an agnostic what they believe. Well, I don't know what I believe. Well, that's what you are when you're ignorant. I don't know what I believe. Well, I know what I believe, and I know what the Bible's teaching me. Are you with me? You need to know that and use your mind. And he will help you see things that aren't healthy and identify them, and you don't have to fall into those traps every time you turn around. Much like these errant leaders who rise at the end of the age will smuggle their error into the church so stealthily that their misdeeds could be like someone who poisons another person slowly over and over. His deadly deeds are very difficult to detect. Listen, there's no doubt that the Greek word depicts covert activity, and it pictures one who knows and is introducing a new theological concept or doctrine that may raise a red flag or concern. rather than openly bring in to the church, the person it looks for a way to sneak it in stealthily. Am I making sense? This word depicts a conscious effort. Behind this effort are the doctrines of demons and even positions of influence those who are teaching falsehood are embracing as the truth. This means they may or may not understand the damage they are doing in the family of God. These are so-called leaders who are being deceived by seducing spirits. They are convinced they are spreading the unadulterated truth. The enemy's strategy is to bring in, by the way of stealth, heretical teaching that it is powerless. It's powerless instead of powerful. It's weak instead of strong because of sin. Sin being tolerated. Holiness is abandoned and ignored. That's why you got to use your mind. We're all about holiness up in here. Without holiness, no one can see the Lord. That's not talking about going to heaven. That's talking about your vision being clear and seeing God in other people.
Right.
We got to rightly divide this word. As well as no need for going on with repentance towards dead works. I've heard people say, well, I did that years ago. I've had people say they're believers. They say, I did that at the altar years ago. You need to do it sometimes every day. Repent means change your mind. Metanoia. Change your mind. Meta means change. Noia means mind. And that's why when you change your mind towards God, you won't have paranoia. You're pairing up with thoughts that aren't from God. You see, that's what those teachers are bringing in, paranoia. It's right with the truth, paired up with the truth, but it's not the truth. It's more palatable. So they take the lie, and then they end up in fear and doubt and unbelief. Am I making sense? Describing these false teachers, the Holy Spirit is revealing how they bring in their falsehood. This is dangerous. Because novices, that's why you don't put a novice in leadership. A novice doesn't have the discernment or discretion or the maturity to divide truth from an error. They've got to be trained and developed in the body of Christ before you put them in leadership. Am I making sense? In these perilous times we are living in, it is essential that church leadership takes responsibility seriously for guarding the flock. For guarding the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made them overseers. I take it serious here. I really do. And when I study this word, I'm going to bring you something that I know the Holy Spirit is telling me. Give me Acts 20:28. Therefore, take heed. Take heed to yourselves and to the flock among you which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service time is Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.